and it gets easier to understand this road I'm traveling down. Oh, no more wavering or wandering. I'm standing on solid ground, and I know I'm headed to my future home. And the voice I hear.
Thank you. came for that.
Amen.
Not just for salvation.
Amen.
But for the message of the hour.
Yes.
Amen.
Salvation is truly the most important thing. But you got to get the message for your day. Or you miss it all. You've got to be into the message of the hour. And we sure do appreciate the Lord giving us some updated songwriters that writes about serpent seed and recognizing your day, because nobody in any other age could do that. They didn't know anything about it. They knew Jesus Christ. They knew he saved their soul. They lived with God. They did the best they could do. And then they went on. But you and I have a commission. We got to go further. We got to grow. Amen. So let's just realize that that's what our whole, we're going to talk about a little bit today on growth. You know, that some of you, I know Brother Gary Adkins, he enjoyed my plum tree that I planted 20-something years ago. And, you know, I was looking at it the other day, Brother Donnie, and I thought, well, when I planted it in 2002, that this thing would never grow. We were going in a rapture, and, you know, all this was going to, a big vibrant tree, you know, comes out, and Brother George is just big old plums, and people would come and eat them. We made plum jelly. People made plum jelly. People come by to eat till we was plum full of plums. But now that tree's dead. He had a few branches this year, but we're going to have to cut him down. But he did what he's supposed to do. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed the other ages. We enjoyed even Brother Branham. But now they've gone on. They've done their job. It's left up to the bride in a many-membered body to carry that on and produce that fruit again. Because a tree, you look at it now, you look at it 20 years ago, and it was just beautiful. I mean, it had big old plums on it, but you look at it now, and it's just old and nothing on it. But that's the cycle of life that we come to, that we all come to. I was thinking about today, this morning, about us getting older, and then I looked at, and I saw that tree, and I'm like, well, that's the cycle of the way it is. But you know what? I got another one planted. And it's only about that big around. So I hope I don't see that one 20 years, Brother John, to make as we say in the South, a mess of plums. But we have the word of the Lord, and we must carry on. All right? Let's remember, Brother Luis, some of you are on the on WhatsApp. I know most of the church is here, but they are sending pictures, and they are there safely. Brother Luis and Brother Michael are there. Brother Aaron will be leaving December 1st to go, and he'll be there along with them, and also Christian Morales, Brother Christian from Ohio, he's going also. So they're going down there, and last night we had a wonderful time at Brother Martin Villarreal's down in Lawrenceville, and had a good crowd of brothers and sisters, and I told them, I said, Hispanic people have a place in my heart. Sometimes it's heartburn when I eat their food. But I have a place in my heart for the Hispanic people, because with Brother Luis here, it's opened up a new avenue. And as Brother Luis and I were talking before he left, that we want to see some wonderful things with the Hispanic community. Amen. Because they're sons and daughters of God also. Amen. So there'll be some announcements on that a little bit later about some things that we want to try to do with them. So you love the Lord? Let's just remember them. Also, let's go right down the list. There'll be no Bible study on the second day of December. We're already in the end of the year. Won't have any Bible study, because usually we don't in December because people are doing things. So no Bible study on the second. Brother Bob will be preaching this Wednesday night. December the 9th, Brother Burley called me this morning, and they're going to have a bonfire at his church. Brother what's his name? Brother Jack Duff will be with them that weekend, and we'll have a bonfire starting at 4:00. I'm going to try to go, and some of you might ought to try to go too and support Brother Burley, but that will be on December the 9th at 4:00. That's on a Saturday, and it'll run till when? He said it's just singing, no preaching, just worship and singing around the campfire or bonfire, and have some time of fellowship. Amen. Just remember that. Also, December the 10th will be our church dinner, which will be the next day after that. We'll only have one service here, and then we'll go to Hidden Acres and have our dinner catered there and give out all the gifts and things that we do at Christmas time. So also remember that on December the 24th, that is Christmas Eve, we will have one service here. That's on Sunday at 10 o'clock. No Sunday school. We'll have one service. I know some people are going to be out of town, but it's Sunday. We're going to have church, at least one service, okay, on Sunday morning. So on December the 24th, that's on Christmas Eve, we'll have one service here at 10 o'clock. No, we'll have no Sunday school. We'll just start at 10, sing some songs, and then have a church service. Also, remember on December the 30th, Brother Eric Gayle will be here from Honduras. Church starts at 6 o'clock. That will be on Saturday night. December the 31st at 8 o'clock will be our annual Watch Night service. Brother Luke Gibson will be with us that night. That's December the 31st at 8 o'clock. So we'll keep announcing these things, but, man, it's already down here to the end of the year almost. So we thank the Lord for the year, though, that we've had. Been trials, been tribulations, but we're still standing here. We still come to church. We still read our Bible. We still pray. I thought we're supposed to, as the day approaches, do more. All right? Do more as the day approaches is what Scripture says. And then we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. There's a way for us to leave this place. Other church ages, they didn't have it. That door was closed. That door was shut. There was no way they could take a rapture in other church ages. But in this one, there's an open door. There's an open book. Revelations 4, there was a door open in heaven. Well, that door's open for me and you, and that's where we're going. We're going to be, as Brother Ernie Villanueva says, we're going to be ejected. We're elected to be ejected. And, boy, I miss him. Good grief, I miss Brother Ernie. But he's smiling. I bet he's jumping around all over the sixth dimension and praising the Lord. And we'll see. Amen. What a great comfort all these this went on that we've even here in our congregation that we'll get to see him. Amen. That's not a hope. That's a surety that will happen. So let's bow our heads and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that's assembled today, Lord, and the ones on the internet, Father, we pray that you'd bless them. Lord, be with the ones that are not here that are sick, Father. I know some are traveling, different things. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them. Be with Brother Luis, Brother Aaron going in about a week or so, and then also Brother Michael being there, Brother Christian going. Just keep them safe and give them fruit for their labor. Father, I pray that you'd be with us here in this service, Lord. Just give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins and many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. Cleanse us. Lord, you speak today. Be the active participant in this service, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're here. We're on the Son of Man, and we kind of covered it a little bit last night. We had a really good time with the Hispanic brothers and sisters down there in Lawrenceville, and we enjoyed being with them. But there's something we've got to do that no other age was required. This is a requirement. Just like adoption is a requirement, it's predetermined, predestined that we come to adoption. So it's also predestined that we take a body change and a rapture. All right? This is the end of all things. Everything's come to this end. All right? Do we believe that? All right? Well, then we need to start acting like it. We need to quit acting like that, me included, quit acting like that. So I'm going to read you something in a few minutes. We actually hinder the Holy Spirit. Well, if some of you don't, then that's you pray for us to do. But we hinder the Holy Spirit. The whole down through the church ages, the Holy Spirit was hindered. Right. It couldn't work completely like it did. Right. Even Jesus would stand in a place, and didn't have the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. Right. And he would have to do what? He had to get rid of a group of people because of their unbelief, because he couldn't work under that unbelief. Right. Same way with us. The same way with Brother Branham. He said, look, if you got unbelief, don't come up here. You got to come believing, because that will hinder the Spirit. It'll hinder the church service. It'll hinder a lot of things if we don't have faith to believe that we're going to get something from God today. Amen. So in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 16, Jesus is telling us, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, that's a promise. That's a promise that he would lead you and guide you into all truth. But now look, if you're not looking for truth, if truth is presented and you turn it down, you have hindered your walk with God. You've hindered the Holy Ghost, and he cannot work in your life. I'm talking about ours and yours too. I'm preaching to all of us today. For he shall not speak of himself. In other words, all that's being now transferred to the bride. And who's getting revelation? God's not getting revelation. Brother Brown told us in the Church Age book, God don't get revelation and never has got revelation. He is the revelation, but he's sending it down to me and you. All right? So, and he will show you things to come or give you further revelation. You may be seated. We got to continue on. You must be born again, because if you're not born again, we can't even talk about the things that we're going to talk about. And now, as we talk about the move and the work of God that we see in the church and in the different ones, that the statue of perfect man is beginning to work. We're beginning to see that people are being able to get more from God, to be more mature and not be crybabies all the time, and not be, you're always going to have them, but still there's got to be a maturity in a group of people that has to come to perfection, that we don't have to look for it. It's here. Come on. We don't have to go looking for it. It's here. I don't mean in this building physically. I mean in the Word of God.
Yeah.
All right. As long as the Word of God is preached, that's where you're supposed to be. All right. Because that's what we feed on. We don't feed on false doctrine. See, listen, you, and it's hard to tell you this, but in Luther's day, I've been reading about Martin Luther and John Wesley, about their life, because we're going to do a little bit with the Church Ages as we get on up to the headstone. Because that was a headstone to the church, and the church was Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, all the way up, Luther, Wesley. So I've been reading about Luther and Wesley. And you see their lives, and you need, as Brother Ram always says, and the Bible tells us that they were all, they all could come part of the way out of their denomination, but couldn't get all the way out.
Right.
They couldn't get everything. In other words, the congregation would sit and listen to John Wesley preach about a Trinitarian doctrine. Well, now, the Holy Ghost inside of them wasn't feeding on that. He can't feed on false doctrine. But God let that happen. He winked at the ignorance of that part. And then John Wesley brought sanctification. So the life would be there instead of being with Martin Luther, where he could drink beer and smoke a pipe. And you know, he was a German. We say that, and you think, well, that's just everyday life for Germans, you know. But he didn't have enough to get him all the way out. He had enough to get him out of Catholicism, but he brought some of that Catholicism with him.
Yeah.
And also in the denominational world, they couldn't get all the way out. They leaned back to the mother.
Yeah.
Come on, they leaned back to the mother. They believed the same thing Catholic Church is in Trinitarian doctrine. False baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They believe that. Every denomination except for a few, us and different ones. I don't call us a denomination, but there are some denominations that are oneness and different ones that baptize in Jesus' name. But most people have took a piece of that mother whore and brought it with them. I'm sorry.
Right.
And if we don't have the truth, so do we. Because Satan has moved. He's not stayed back there. He's moved right into this message. That's where he wants to be. That's where he can do the most damage. That's why Brother Brown said, oh, if Satan could know this seal, this seventh seal, he could do a lot of damage. Well, you keep it bottled up inside of you, and he won't get it. The seventh seal is you and me, folks. It's Christ revealed in a bride. And the secrets he tells us, there's things June and I talk about, and I know you do too. You can laugh or roll your eyes if you want to. There's things I tell June and I talk about that would probably make y'all sick. But it's me and her. We understand each other. Why can't we be that same way in the gospel where that our husband, oh, we'll read this maybe, I think tonight we'll talk about a little bit about the bride being the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's because she's mature.
Yes.
Because they couldn't be the fullness of the Godhead bodily back in the church ages. All right? Even in this age, in the Laodicean age, we see it happening the same way. So that way we've got to move on a little bit further. All right? And let God tell our... He's not going to tell a secret to everybody. Come on, people. Like I said, with me and Jim, there's certain things we say that you'll never know. Well, now that's not being mean. That's because she's my bride.
Amen.
We married each other to be one. To be able to talk about things.
Right.
Now, why do we marry Jesus Christ? To be quiet and keep secrets? Huh? No! He's already told us everything. We just got to do what he says. So you're still what you are until you're born again of the Spirit of God. We were preaching last night on anointed for the time. And I believe that a lot of what we have, maybe not so much, yeah, church ages or the denominations and also in the message, we have people that are anointed but not born again. Because we see that people preach this message of the hour for 30 years. I'm talking about preachers. They spend their life. Their whole life, 30 years, preaching the message of the hour, and then they say it's false because they find something little here and there. They never got born again. They got an anointing of the hour. They got an anointing of the message of the hour and felt good and was able to put things together intellectually. Well, praise God, we've not had that here. We got a ministry that's different from that. Because our pastor preached being born again 50 years ago, and he hadn't stopped. So joining church and changing your ideas or having good intentions, as good as it might be, is still not right. The new birth is an experience. In other words, something that takes place. June and I got married. That was something that took place. All right, we were both there. We had an experience of getting married. Have you ever had an experience with getting married to Jesus Christ? That's my question to you. And that brings the new birth. We look in the first seal. Brother Brown, then he separates us from the church. He takes the church. He talks about church, church. He said, I'm going to call you bride now. Listen, that you'll understand. Because that probably was a new name to a lot of denominations that he was preaching to. He'd say the church. Because remember, the church, denominational church, preaches that we go through tribulation. That we have to stand the white throne judgment. Right? That's false doctrine. So Brother Branham was preaching to him and he said, look, that's for the church. Yes, the church goes through tribulation. Yes, the church has to stand judgment. But no, the bride does not. She's being separated. She's being judged now. She's not going to the white throne judgment. Listen, what a consolation that should be to every one of us. Because their priest, listen, whatever you preach, that's what you are. They preach, they're going to have to go through the tribulation. So guess what? They're going through the tribulation. They preach, they're going to stand before the white throne judgment, Brother George. They're going to stand before the white throne judgment if they're not born again. Every person that's not born again will have to stand before the white throne judgment. But praise God, if you get born again here, you won't have to worry about it there. You've already been judged. You've been judged by the judge. So never since Jesus Christ on earth did Satan have such a formidable opponent. He hates this message. He hates it. He doesn't hate it when it lays on paper, Brother John. He hates it when it's lived. He hates it when brothers and sisters get together and talk about the Word of God and talk about revelation and things that God's done in their life. He hates that. And you watch him every time you put something out there. Like Brother Bram said, he says, now secrets I keep in my heart. He said, but if I ever speak it, Satan can get a hold of it and do harm with it. Think about that. Colossians 1 verse 18. We're going to get to this. And he is the head of the body. Now look, he is the head of what? The body. The body is the bride. The body is the seven church ages of the born again believers in every church age plus us sitting here today. Is everybody with me? That is the body of Christ. He has no physical body here at the moment. He does have a body. It's over in another dimension. All right. So he sent the Holy Ghost back into this dimension to go inside a bunch of believers so he can live his way out. But he's still the head. We're not the head. That's why there had to be positions in the church, positions in the home. Husband's the head of the household. Listen, that wasn't that way until the fall. Adam and Eve were the same person. They were co-equal before the fall. We always talk about Adam speaking the tree. What about Eve? Before the fall, Eve was the same thing as Adam was. But because of the fall and what happened, there had to be headship. But you know what? Same thing with me and you. We didn't come here bride. Hello, somebody. We had to be born into that body, out of this body, into that body, which is the body of Christ. A many-membered body, as we're going to talk about this afternoon. The collective body of Jesus Christ is the fullness. Now, why was Jesus the fullness of the Godhead bodily? I'll give you this a little bit. Why was he the fullness of the Godhead bodily? When he was born, a baby, he didn't need the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. He just picked up a flesh body that was created by what? Not a man and a woman, but by God. Spoken word. All right? Placed in a womb. She was an oven or an incubator that brought the body of Christ out. But when that baby was born, when you breathed your first breath, you were dead. You're human. Your first breath, you start going downhill. Now, he was in body, but his spirit and his soul was God. That makes him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was all Father, all Son, and all Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
But you and I are not because of our first birth.
Come on.
But when we get the new birth,
yes, sir,
that puts us into that body.
Yes, sir.
That's why we can't be judged. The body of Christ has already been judged.
Right.
It was judged at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
So God looks at that and he says, hey, that's his body. It's already been judged. So he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that he might have the preeminence. There wasn't a time when Jesus Christ was lost. Now listen, he grew in grace and knowledge and favor with man. That's what the Bible says, because of his humanity. All right? He didn't come out of the womb preaching. Okay? But he was not born again either. He didn't need a new birth. He was born right the first time. You and I need a new birth because we were born in sin, shaping iniquity. We came to this world this way. But the reason he came was to clean that thing out.
Yes, right.
Say, hey, I'm human, you're human. We're joint heirs, right? We're joint heirs with Christ. That means his flesh, we flesh. That's why Melchizedek couldn't be your Savior. Now, inside of Melchizedek was your Savior. But Melchizedek couldn't save you. He was just spoken into existence. God stepped in the body, stepped back out, and that thing just went down to dust. That's not the way you and I came. So he had to be born the same way we are, except for the virgin birth. All right, is everybody with me? But we're the body then. The body's already been judged, so everything he's got, though, we get. I want us to realize that. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Amen.
He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Brother Brown says, complete.
Yes.
Full. Now listen, he had some bad days as a human, I'm sure. And as a little boy, he might have got spanked. He grew in grace and knowledge. Right? But inside of that, the soul was the soul of God. The spirit was the spirit of God. Not another spirit. If he got another spirit, then we got to find that man. He had the spirit of God and the soul of God. That's what made him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen, your spirit realm, it's not God right now. We're working toward it. That's why Brother Bram said she will be the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a collective around the world group of people. Not one person. Brother Branham was not the fullness of the Godhead bodily in one person. But he could tell us that we are in a collective body. All right? Everybody with me? Matthew 21, verse 42. We'll get to this a little bit later. Jesus said that you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. We know for sure that Jesus knew he would be rejected. Despised, rejected. Isaiah 53, right? 52, right? But he knew he would come back as the cornerstone, the one down there at the bottom, to start his church the way he wanted it started. He couldn't get a bride in the Old Testament. Bride had to be born by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God was not there to be born. There was an anointing. And it was the anointing of God so much that Moses' face would shine. They'd have to put a cover over it. That's how much God thought of Moses. He used an old man.
to destroy a nation. I mean, he literally went to the White House and said, let my people go. Amen. And when they got finished, that whole country, all 50 states that we got, would be destitute. That's right. And they said, get out of here. That's what happened under the blood of bulls and goats. What about now? But see, me and you are not required to bring a natural group of people. Because we still live in the world. This thing still lives in the world. But God told us to separate and come out of, right? Redemption, out of and into, right? Out of this land into a new land. Who took them over, though? Moses didn't take them over. Joshua took them over. Moses, thy servant, is dead. But he said, Joshua, the same as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. But you have another commission. Moses had a commission to bring them out. Joshua had a commission to take them into the promised land and positionally place them where they needed to go. That's why God has an order. I'm a little bit off the subject here. But God's got an order. He didn't say, okay, Ephraim, you just, wherever y'all, you know, however how many, 25,000 of y'all, you just go find you a place. And it'd have been 25,000 people. It'd been like the gold rush going out into California. Just everybody went. Now, there's a purpose behind God setting every one of those. Remember Brother Ram said, even the mothers that call their name positionally placed them where they're supposed to go in that promised land before they even got there. The calling of the name put Ephraim into this and Manasseh into this and different ones. And we know that two tribes and a half tribe stayed outside because of to type justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost, but there is a group that went in. Amen. There's a group that went in. Yes. This is a group that's going in. Amen. All right? We're not going to stay outside. We're going in. Amen. But I love it because Moses told them, or Joshua said, hey, it's okay. Y'all can have this land out here, but if there's any trouble in this land, you're not going to stay out here and go, well, that's your problem. No, they had to take up arms and go fight. That's why your justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost never leaves you. That is your fighting force against the devil. Yes, praise God. That is it. That's your fighting force. Amen. Know that you're justified. Know that God justified you, not you justified yourself. Come on. God justified you. God sanctified you. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Those who he has justified, he's already glorified. When we go start believing these things. Amen? So the stone which the builders rejected. Now, who's the builders? The builders was the Old Testament. God was supposed to be built by Caiaphas and the different ones. Because he was going to build his body through his church. Brother Branham said, and I believe it and I read it, where every one of those Old Testament prophets in that piece built the body of Jesus Christ, and he just stepped out on what those denominations said he was coming to them. Amen? He came to his own, and his own received him not, but those that did receive him, he made them to be the sons and daughters of God. So they rejected him. But he didn't stop and say, well, I'm sorry I'm done. I'm God, but I can't do anything about this. No, God's going to have a group of people. Amen. God's got a plan. We got to get in the plan. We got to be part of the plan. And we got to help him. We ain't got to help him like we talk about help, but he did say he wanted to use your hands, your mouth, your heart, your voice. So the same has become the head of the corner. So in other words, you've knocked me off the top. So I'm just going to start down to bottom in a little headstone, a corner, and I'm going to build my church. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. That's what he's looking at. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the Jews of the day. He's saying, this is going to be taken away from you and given to a nation. Remember, Jews was a one nation, but you and I were a collective group of nations because we were Gentiles. All right? And they're going to bring forth the fruit thereof. In other words, they're going to produce what Jesus was saying. I was telling them last night, every sermon, even this message of the hour, came from a 3.5-year message of Jesus Christ. 3.5 years. 3.5 years go by just like that. It has already. But he preached for 3.5 years, Sister Sue, and that's it. I mean, where did Paul get his message? Jesus Christ. Where did Irenaeus get his message? Jesus Christ. Even where the Catholics get their message? Jesus Christ. Even the denominations, where they get their message? Well, they talk about a man named Jesus, but they talk about him back there, and he did this, and he did that back there. They don't have an ever-present God. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind. I want God to grind me to powder. Grind me to powder, Lord. Because he's a master builder. He can start with that powder, and he can make a mighty powerful church, and that's what he's doing now. Brother Ram tells us there's been churches, brides, brides, but there's got to come one, hallelujah. There has to come a real bride. Now, that doesn't mean, I'm going to read this. I think I got it a little bit later. The Bible talks about a faithful and true witness. Now, not that that witness was ever false. All right? So he's not, Brother Ram's not saying that all the other brides were false. Because he says right here, there has to come a real bride. No, a real bride that has a commission. That real bride that's going to take the end time message and go to the body change and go to the rapture and bring all the other ones out of the grave. That's the real bride. And listen, that's what God's been looking for. Revelation 3:14, the beginning of the creation of God. That's you and me. We know it was Jesus Christ, but who are we? We're Mrs. Jesus Christ. And what must come one has got mechanics and dynamics. Makes the church live, move in the power of resurrection. Until we come to that place, why is it good to polish the hubs? Why is it good to wear long hair and long dresses if you don't live it all the time? And it becomes a revelation to you, not that you just do it because somebody says. It becomes a revelation. June doesn't have to get up every morning and fight herself to go get her hair cut. If you're born again, a Holy Ghost-filled woman won't ever cut her hair. Revelation 19:5. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted. Look, to her was granted. From who? Her husband. The head. That she should be arrayed in fine linen. In other words, no piece uncovered. Arrayed in fine linen. Now, you're not going to walk up and be clean and white and have one little spot right here. Or a little spot right here. Or a little spot down here. God's not that way. Amen. You might be that way, and I might be that way. But when God cleans you up, he don't leave a spot. He don't leave a wrinkle. Amen. You know what the Bible says? Without spot or wrinkle? When we go start believing that. We shall be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of his body. We're the saints. All right? Remember, we were talking about this. Your bride is on your wedding day. I'm going to get married. This is my bride, or this is my new bride. But she should become your wife. This is my wife. June Dale, this is my wife. She was my bride on wedding day. She was my bride, maybe my young bride in the beginning. And you might want to call her bride. That's okay. But she knows she's your bride. She was there at the wedding. All right? I hope. But now she's your wife. She understands you. Look, now what is a wife to do? A wife is to what? Express the husband. Aren't we supposed to express the Lord Jesus? That's the whole. Listen, the bride's not to be somebody that's over here that does their own thing like the world does and becomes the head and becomes the this and that and the other. Everybody understand me? Remember, this is a woman's nation. This is a woman's everything coming to a woman. A woman is what's killing all of the world. The Greek lexicon says, look, a wife is come to pass, be done. Arise, be fulfilled. Remember, Brother Ram talked about an unfulfilled age. Well, that wasn't the right bride. It wasn't the true bride. It was a bride, but it wasn't all true because they had false doctrine. Be married to, or look, be preferred. Why were you not born in another age? Why were you? You that have the Holy Ghost, why weren't you born some other time? Because God controls every bit of that. There's no one person that says, I got here because I wanted to, and I was born January 26, 1960. No. By the way, bedding ground, Brother Brown said, he took this one to this one and married this one to this one and this one to this one and got you here. So you can make a choice. But he knew once you got here what you do. We just don't. But Brother George, he put us in this age. He didn't put us in Martin Luther's day. He didn't put us in John Wesley. Listen, he didn't even put us here in the 50s. Some of you might have been born in 40s. But he put you here to do something today.
Yes, sir.
Today is the day of salvation. We love the day we got married. The day he said, you're my bride. The boat boy came up and took the bride. But he didn't take her and leave her and go off. He took her back to Chicago. He took us on a journey. Listen here just a minute. I wanted to kind of interject this. The Bible tells us that God gave us a helpmeet. Brother Dale's preached on this many, many times. He didn't give us a helpmate. Read your Bible. If you got your Bible, read. It does not say helpmate. It says a helpmeet, which is the same. Somebody to help you or enhance you, not make you worse or weak. God didn't have a bride to make him weak. He had a bride to become a wife to make him strong and be the opponent of the devil that he's always looked for.
Yes.
Satan says, I did it through a woman. God says, I'm going to do it through one too.
Hallelujah.
We're all feminists in the body, right?
Yes.
Right. Satan said, oh, I got her. She's weak. He said, no, you may have got her, but that second Eve, she ain't going to fall. I'm going to use that same character.
Yes.
The woman. So it's a helpmeet, or as joint heirs in Romans 8 tells us. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I hope you see that. I got this off the internet. It must be true. Sounded good anyway. When you grow old, who will take care of you? For many, that caretaker will be a spouse. I'm getting to something here. Because look, even people tell us, I'll read it here, that marriage is one of the most important things you do. Do you know if you stay single? According to Lord, we got so much information now, they can tell you how many of this and how many of that and put it on a graph and put it on a chart and pull it up on the internet. If you don't get married until you're like 35 or 40, you have a 5-year less life expectancy than ones that get married. And men, we go first. I'll read it. But can't you see it yourself? But does marriage actually improve life expectancy? Here's what the research shows. Marriage was one of the first non-biological factors. Now, a biological factor would mean that you have a heart issue or you have diabetes or you have something that will cut your life short. So this is non-biological. That has nothing to do with your health. Marriage was one of the first non-biological factors identified as improving life expectancy. I say praise God. If you're married to Christ, your life expectancy just went way up. The explanation given was that married people tend to take fewer risks with their health and have better mental and emotional health. Sometimes we think that's the opposite. I'm not preaching on marriage today, but got to talk about it a little bit. Marriage also provides more social and material support. Now, think in the spiritual what Jesus Christ gives us in support if you're the bride.
Yes.
Amen? Y'all ought to sleep late on Saturday night. You're not stay out so much. You're falling asleep already. Well, you wouldn't fall asleep if there's a ball game going on. Marriage also provides more social and material support. Look, which means having someone to take you to the doctor, the great physician, or care for you when you're sick. It can save your life. Married people live longer and healthier lives. The power of marriage is particularly evident in late middle age.
Well, praise God, that got a lot of us.
I think June and I are in the late part of the middle age. That's what it says, the late part. The power of marriage is particularly evident in late middle age. When Linda Waite and a colleague, for example, analyzed mortality differentials in a very... I want you to think spiritual with me too now. This is what Jesus Christ has married us to do for us. To enhance us. Not to beat us, make us doormats. Hello, somebody?
Amen.
Thank God he doesn't do that. A very large, nationally representative sample, they found an astonishingly large marriage gap in longevity. 9 out of 10 married guys. Now, listen to this, guys. 9 out of 10 married guys who are alive at 48 will make it to age 65. 90%. 9 out of 10 of you married guys, I'm heading toward that. I'll be there in just a year and a half or a year and 2 months. I'll be 64 coming up. But if you're alive at 48, if you made it to 48, then you got a 90% chance of making it to 65. Compared to just 6 in 10. You say, that ain't much. Yeah, it is when you talk about me and you. When you talk about our life. Okay? Just 6 in 10 comparable single guys controlling for race, education, income. For women, the protective benefit of marriage are also powerful, though not quite as large. 9 out of 10 wives alive at 48 will live to be senior citizens. Compared with just 8 out of 10 divorced and single women. In fact, according to statistician Bernard Cohen and I Sing Lee, maybe, I don't know, that's maybe an acronym, who compiled a catalog of relative mortality risks. Look, being unmarried is one of the greatest risks that people voluntarily subject themselves to. Being unmarried is one of the great, now I Sing Lee said this, being unmarried is one of the greatest risks that people voluntarily subject themselves to. Having heart disease, for example, reduces a man's life expectancy by just under 6 years, while being unmarried chops 10 years off your life. This is not just a selection effect. Even controlling for initial health status, sick people who are married live longer than their unmarried counterpart. I hope you think a little bit spiritual less. Having a spouse, for example, lowers a cancer patient's risk of dying from the disease as much as being in an age category 10 years younger. Wow. A recent study of outcomes for surgical patients found that just being married lowered a patient's risk of dying in a hospital. Praise God!
Amen.
Scientists who have studied immune functioning in the laboratory find that happily married couples have better functioning immune systems. Praise God. I believe that because we believe in prayer and we believe in faith from our husband. Divorced people, even years after the divorce, show much lower levels of immune functions. I just thought you might want to read that. That's what God did for us. When you marry Christ, it's not just a marriage and you go, well, no, there's benefits. And I know there's benefits to being married, naturally. But we're talking spiritually here. Because listen, all of you the single wives and single men and all the people who are not married, we're not kicking you out because Christ is your husband. Until you get one on earth, Christ is your husband. And vice versa, because he is our husband. I don't care. We're all feminists in the body of Christ. That's why I said we all come under that feminist part, but God's going to use that feminist part to defeat the devil with. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joint of marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we pulled apart the other day with the soul. That's the real you. That's the person that you are. That's the person that's going to stand before the white throne judgment if you're not judged here. Because remember, if your soul is born again, that soul is God.
That's right.
And God can't be judged.
Right.
He is the judge. That's why that he's given us the part of being a judge. Because we can judge. You're not even supposed to take a brother to court. You're supposed to judge it right here. Well, get quiet if you want to, but that's what he said.
And you can also save on some real big lawyer fees. Right, Bob? And Bob said, yep. It's an exorbitant amount of money people spend on law, just having lawyers. Our little city of Gillsville, population 300 when the cows are on this side of the fence, we pay our lawyer $10,000 a year just as a retainer. Now, we get a few little things. You know, that gives us so many minutes on the phone, and he comes to a meeting a year, and we get this, and then it becomes billable hours. So when you talk to him on the phone, you better don't say, hey, how you doing, David? No, it's like, hey, I need this right here, okay? You give me an answer, see you, bye. Because it's $300 an hour after that. So, woe unto you, lawyers. I'm telling you what Jesus said. What he said, not people that work for him. But I know Bob sees a lot of that, and it's an odd when you try to believe somebody that you know's guilty, and you try to make them innocent, and you know in your mind they're guilty, and you try to take them before a jury and convince them, or at least one of them, that it might not be that way. I don't think I could live that way. But anyway, so the spirit realm is the realm that we're talking about now. This is where the battleground is. This is the messy part, because you know what? A birth is a mess, but once you clean the baby up, it's pretty smelly good, and all the baby oil and all the... I used to love baby shampoo. I wish they'd make something for men for that smell like baby shampoo. I love that stuff. And it don't get tears in your eyes. I wonder why we don't have that. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Life lesson number 743. But after you're cleaned up, you're not a mess anymore. Your soul is clean, just as eternal as God is. It's not just eternal as God is. It is God. All right? But our spirit realm is where the nasty, smutty mire of the world. And it's not on this guy right here. This guy just produces what's inside. He's just a vehicle to get express what you've got, like my hands, express what you got inside of you. But my memory is not your memory. My reasoning is not your reasoning. I have my own, all right? But God said he would work on that through these virtues. He would work on that part of you, because your soul is already eternal. Your soul is already sitting in heavenly places. Your soul is already God Almighty and coming to the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a collective group, all right? But we've got to come to perfection, as we'll see here in just a few minutes. The whole Bible talks about growth. From Genesis to Revelation, talks about growth. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So there's a group that's going to come to adoption, that's going to come to a birth, going to come to adoption, and we're going to take that adoption and use it, as Brother Ram says here in a few minutes, where you won't pray for people, you speak to people. Right. Now, listen, laying on them hands, you can't take it out of the Bible. Some people need that. I don't need that. Some people need that to feel that connection, and that's fine and dandy because it's in the Bible. You can't take it out. But when are we going to come to where you say? Amen. You say to your sickness, you say to your wayward child or your wayward husband, you say to them, amen, be moved. And not down in your heart. We are predestinated unto adoption. So remember, we talked about adoption is 2 Peter. For if these things be in you and abound. In other words, if these things be in you and work, they're going to make you where you're not barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, even though you're a Christian, even though you're born again, because born again come up here in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, having the divine nature of God. Listen, you can have the divine nature of God and be blind. Have you not been sitting there and thought one thing, and all of a sudden a preacher says something, and you go, man, I didn't think that was that. Well, you were blind to it. We were blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. The whole problem is with the world, they don't know it. You and I know when we're blind because we seek revelation. Lord, help me with that. Help me with this that minister's saying.
Take a little note and study it. You don't have to tell, you can't take a note on the whole subject. But something will strike your heart. I got a question about that. Write it down and go study it. Amen. Study for yourself. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. In other words, can't see further revelation. And hath forgotten. Have we forgotten in all this long journey that we're in? Have we forgotten what God's brought us through? That he purged us from our old sins and we don't need to worry about them anymore? Hello, somebody. Put them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He don't remember them, but you do. But you know what? It's not you that did it. You, listen, the Holy Ghost in your body, the Holy Ghost inside of you never will sin.
That's right.
That's the paradox or the paradigm or whatever you want to call it. You got something eternal inside of you, yet you're dying. You got something eternal inside of you, yet you have questions. Yet you get sick. That's what happened when the fall happened. That's why it was so bad that God said, hey, I'm going to put a division. I'm not going to even be able to look at you until I come and clean this thing up.
Yes. Amen.
Then we can have fellowship. And there's still, Brother Brown said, he hears your voice. I was telling him last night, you know, I go hunting and go to Philippines for three weeks or so. Man, when I come back, I don't want to see Brother Collie. Who do you want to see? You want to see your bride or your wife? That's who you want to see. Listen, Jesus Christ has not literally put his eyes on the bride yet. Think about it. He's not here in a corporal body. So his physical eyes has never seen the bride. But in spirit form, he's seen every one of us. Think about that. But you know what? I can call June up and we can talk and we can just smoochie, smoochie, smoochie. For a few minutes on the phone, you hang a phone up and you know what? She ain't nowhere to be found. You're 3,000 miles over here in the Philippines. But I want to get back home so we can face to face, see each other, talk to each other, have communion together with each other. Well, that's what Jesus Christ is. He's waiting on us in that other dimension. Listen, he was in that dimension and Brother Ram couldn't see him. People in the sixth dimension are not even privileged to see that body yet. But he's transferred all that power to this body for the moment to defeat the devil with this body. And then bring his body in the millennium down here on earth. But we go to a wedding supper. When we take a body change, we get a glorified body. This body changed. Then we can meet him in the air. Then we can meet our lover. We can meet our husband. Somebody that we know that we felt him. We've seen his work. We've seen his work in our life. But you've never physically seen Jesus Christ. But we're going to see him. We're going to look face to face, Paul said one time. We're going to see that person that we know is inside of us by the Holy Ghost. But he is a person. He is someone we want to touch. He is someone we want to hug. I don't know about you, but to me, that's a love affair. All right? You can have long-distance relationships all you want to, but that's not very fulfilling. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's pretty powerful. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, there's going to be a door open in the end time through a little prophet that comes and tells, they say, hey, let's talk about this. Y'all have talked about the new birth for seven church ages or 2,000 years. But we're going to talk about this adoption, which never was taken out. Paul talks about it, but never attained to it. You got to attain to it in the end time. We have been what? Predestinated to adoption. All right? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. This is Peter. And I'm sorry, but if you read this right here, he must have preached this same sermon about 20 times, maybe 30 times. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present day truth. He goes and visits the church, and they're like, he's going to preach on them virtues again. Well, he's going to come back 3 months. He's going to preach. We know Peter going to say something about the virtues. All right? But is it common? Is it so common that we say, oh, that's Brother Wade. He's reading the same scripture again, and he's got 138 sermons on this one subject and hadn't even got to the real subject of the Son of Man. Now we look where Jesus, he's walked at. He's about 3 years into his ministry. He has about 6 months left of his life. He goes upon a mountain, and he's covered and overshadowed with a cloud, and a voice comes out of the cloud which says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. All right? Hear ye him. Now, Brother Bram's going to tell us in a few minutes, hear ye them. He didn't change the word. Because there was the bride inside of Jesus. The whole time Jesus walked on the earth, you and I were inside of him. That's why we can understand Jesus Christ better than anybody. Because that piece of you was inside of that man. That eternal light, that Genesis 1:26 man came right down and went in that baby and walked through life. I know some of you may have been on the shores of Galilee. I don't know. Mom and dad were, I think. But have anybody ever been to Israel and walked the shores of Galilee? You should have all raised your hand. You're not getting it.
Amen.
You were there. Where were you? In his soul.
Yes.
You were that part of him that was longing to get out so he could commune with. He didn't mind communing back before the foundation of the world in his mind and all that, you know, that we talk about. But he doesn't want that. When you talk about your wife, you think, "Ma, you got all these different things, or your husband in your mind, you know. I want that to develop into a person so I can talk to him.
Yeah.
I want to have a relationship with him. I want to be somebody I can, you know, like Brother Brown said, that boy said he wants God with skin on him.
Hallelujah.
I want God with skin on him. Then hear ye him. We talk about the son was adopted. His name's good on the checkbook, just as good as his daddy's. Now, he didn't get the checkbook at first. He did get a checkbook, but it had Jesus' name written on it because he really don't trust you with his money yet.
Right.
Just like you wouldn't with a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old driving you home in your car today.
Amen.
Sophia, drive your mom and daddy home today, okay? That makes us all nervous, and we aren't even going to be in the car with them. Well, that's the way God is. He's not nervous, but he knows you can't handle certain things.
Right.
He knows
yes,
that you'll mess up a situation.
Yeah.
He knew that. Remember, he told Brother Abraham, he said, you're messing up.
Right.
Remember, the angel told him, you're messing up. Quit trying to explain everything. Oh, boy, you get quiet when you start talking about a prophet making a mistake. Sorry about that, but he did. So that's where God's trying to get his church. Just say this mountain be moved and it'll move. Authority, sons of God. The whole creation groaning, waiting, Romans 8. Waiting for a spot to where that the sickness will be arise and it will be that way. The blind will receive their sight, deaf and dumb. We pray for them now.
Amen.
But then you'll command it. Now how many believe Brother Brown was a prophet?
Amen.
We believe that is going to happen, or are we just going to keep reading it? Didn't say these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall pray for the sick. It said they shall cast out devils, not I will, they will. If you say to this mountain, not if I say. If you say to this mountain be moved and don't doubt in your heart, what we need is adoption. Sons and daughters needs adoption. But how can the church, look, the Pentecostal church, the Methodist, Baptist, be adopted until they come to discipline? We've got to be disciplined first. You know what discipline is, right? It's a set of rules that you go by, all right? We lovingly go by the rules that God's give us, all right? But there's a set of rules that you go by in discipline, all right? So let me give you an example. We are disciplined Christians because we don't smoke or drink, and we know not to do these things. We know not to curse. We know not to, you know, wear men's clothes. We know that. Okay? We know that. We are disciplined, though, by the word of God. But now what about them out there? He's talking about Methodist, Baptist. They go to church with pants on, shorts on. Saw a guy the other day walking to church with a pair of shorts on. Disrespectful.
Amen.
There's no discipline.
Right.
They just don't care.
Right.
You tell them, oh, you ain't supposed to do these things. Well, I ain't perfect, and you ain't perfect. Well, see, they don't care. They don't take headship.
Amen.
They don't take discipline. They don't take no headship.
That's right.
So God could not trust this power with the church. But I say he is going to trust it with the bride.
Amen.
It's hard to tell what you would do. What do Pentecostals do? They shouted it. Brother Bram said they blew it out the whistle. They just have all these great manifestations and speaking in tongues and never even get the word out. Well, the word's got to be first to begin with. Because they don't have enough discipline to put the word first. We should know and have discipline to know how to do these things. All right? So it's discipline. And those discipline is what? Those virtues. Now let's look at this real quick, and then we'll close right here. Didn't get very far, but we'll get far a little bit this afternoon. Isaiah 53:2. Now, the Bible tells us about growth. And that's what adoption is. Adopting is purely growth. It's growth development through the Word of God, not eating pie or whatever we had for Thanksgiving. Look, who is this he in Isaiah 53? It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Zechariah 6, verse 12. And speaking to the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Now, who is that? Jesus Christ. And he shall grow up out of his place. And he shall build, not with hammer and nails, he shall build the temple of the Lord. Malachi 4, verse 2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That's right before Malachi 4, 5. Ephesians 4, 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Romans 8:21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or to witness, or to understand the redemption of our body. Listen, even the great apostle Paul spoke of it. He could see it in part, but he couldn't see it in his fullness. But the Bible that he wrote, 80% of the New Testament, is where we're going to get all that out of. You see, he was blinded because, you say blinded? Yes, he was blinded to that truth because he didn't get the seals. He didn't get the open door like we did. Come on, I'm sorry. Some of you looking at it like it did last night. Some of them look. I told them, I said, when you get that big old fur on in the front of your face like that, it means you ain't understanding it or you don't believe it. One of the two, you go. There was a brother sitting on the front row and I said something and he. We express everything that we are inside.
Amen.
You can't hide it. We really don't need discernment like Brother Branham. That was for them. There's enough discernment looking at people's faces. Especially them that go. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So there was a law. Right? The law of do's and don'ts.
Amen.
Even Jesus came under that law of do's and don'ts. Amen?
Amen.
He would do something. He'd say, go do the law of Moses. He'd do something. He'd say, go see the priest. Because a leper had to take his body to a priest and they had to check him over. If there was no spots or it was white, they were good. Well, Jesus didn't say, well, bless God, forget about them people. No, he grew up under the law. You and I. When we're born again, and we are the bride of Jesus Christ, when we are babies, we're laws. We're lawyers.
Right.
I don't do that no more. Why are they still doing it? We become lawyers. We become the law. But that law was part of our growth development, but it brought us to Christ. It brought us to Christ that we might be justified by faith.
Yes.
I'm going to burn some of you's hide, but here we go. You ready? Shake yourself. What's a schoolmaster? Schoolmaster tells you, says, hey, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. Right? As a schoolmaster, you have to go to school. You have to go to school and learn these things. So there's a law there that brings you to Christ. But listen, when you got in the second and third grade, everybody with me? When you get in the second and third grade, that teacher don't have to go back over 1 + 1 = 2. Now, maybe the second grade did, but when I got in calculus in college, there wasn't no mention of 1 + 1 = 2 because you know what? It was inside of me. It was something I inherited from that first grade teacher. I needed that first grade teacher. So why don't we have to beg people to come to church? Why don't we have to beg people to be on time? We don't believe what God said. You're supposed to be here 20 minutes before the service starts. Pray and read your Bible. Some of y'all walk in when Bob's talking. Some of you walk into this and some of you walk. You shouldn't do that. There's an order. There's an order to everything. And the Holy Spirit loves that order. And if you're out of that order, you bind him. You bind the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said, one unconfessed sin. We need to pray. Amen. One unconfessed sin can make a whole church fail. Whole church. Because you bound the Holy Spirit. So like I said before, I don't have to go back to the first grade to remember I need to be here 20 minutes before service starts, to remember I need to read my Bible, to remember I need to study, to remember I need to come to church. That ought to be inherent inside of you and just be like your everyday movement. All right? If you got a job, Dad worked on assembly line for almost 30 years. Well, his job, he didn't have to come in after 20 years, Brother George, unless they moved him to another job. He didn't have to come in and go, I might figure this out again. I don't know what in the world. After you do it for 20 years, you ought to be able to be common to you. You ought to be able to get your tail up and come to church. And not have to be told. It should be inherent inside of us. Because we fall if we don't. You say, oh, it's just some, if I'm 5 minutes, that ain't you to say. If the prophet of God said 20 minutes for a service, he meant something by that. Oh, that was just Brother Branham. Well, now, who decided you were going to decide what was God and what was not? So get here on time, all right? Get here before time. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. In other words, we don't need to be taught that again. But we do. For we are all the children of God in faith in Christ Jesus. Let's continue on just for a second and we'll close right here. The heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Though we have everything, when we become the bride of Jesus Christ, when we become born again, you get everything you need for your journey. So just lay down and just take a nap and just take a nap for the rest of your journey and just, you'll be the best Christian. No. You'll die. Take that baby, beautiful as it is, put it in that room, shut the door. About 2 weeks later, you're gonna have a dead child. Same way in Christianity. That's why you need to come to church. You need to feed on the Word of God. For I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors. What? The Word of God. Preach is like Brother Bob was talking about. Preach to a group of people. A fivefold ministry. And also others that can help. Can help you through these things. But look, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son. He didn't have to keep talking about it. He's here. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then we're talking about a bar mitzvah, which they do over in Israel. They have a ritual when you come to your 13th birthday, which means that you have learned from many tutors and many governors. And now listen, every child that turns 13 years old doesn't go through a bar mitzvah. It's if you come to the requirements of your tutor that you go to that. All right?
Because the boy is now deemed personally responsible for fulfilling all the commandments, may henceforth don phylacteries, which is symbols and what those things they wear on their forehead and they wear on their arm and all that stuff, during the weekly morning prayer, and may be counted as an adult whenever 10 male adults are needed to form a quorum for a public prayer. Very important to come to adoption, even in the natural sense. Now I want to read this. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, musicians. I highlighted this year because this is 1953. All right? That's what, 70 years ago this year? 70 years ago, this is what our prophet was preaching. Across the river they went. Say, what will you ask? I wish we'd have time to take up before the law of adoption. Pentecost was born. That's right. Like the son, but that same son was born in a family, had to be adopted also. That's right. And there's where you missed your calling, friend. When the adoption time come, if the tutor that raised the child finds the child not worthy, they absolutely still remained a son, but missed their adoption. But if they were adopted into the family, they were full fellowship. Any check they wrote was good as the one the daddy wrote. That's what's the matter today, brother. The church ought to be in adoption right now. 1953, 70 years from this year. The church ought to be in adoption right now, bringing into the full favors of God. But the thing, we're up and down and in and out, and up and down and in and out, till God can't trust us with nothing hardly. All right, 1959. Let's get on a little bit further, closer to our age. Some of us weren't even born in 1959. What the Holy Ghost was given for? What's what he says? What is it? He's pouring in his spirit. Then those who are resting out yonder in the grave or under the altar of God, as the scripture says, are crying, how long, Lord? How long? How much longer? God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time, when God can pour into us his fullness, his power, his resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us in a bride and raises the dead and we go into rapture. We'll stop right here. We'll pick it up this afternoon. And I wrote myself a note. False doctrine hinders the Holy Spirit. Our unconfessed sins are the things that we do. We should be the most repentant people in the world. God, I'm sorry I did that. Because Christians are the only ones that have sins, Brother Bram said. Right? Yeah, hello. Sins. Because we sin every day. But we have an advocate. Did you say, Father, I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't. Now listen, if you didn't get convicted for it, you need to be an elder. Do y'all not get, maybe I need to preach to somebody else. Do y'all not get convicted every day about something? Every day. Every single day you go, Lord, I should have never done that. Or why did I do that? Even the very thoughts in my mind, I say, Lord, where did that come from? Why? But listen, he's not in that part. He's here. We got to remember that. So anyway, false doctrine hinders the Holy Spirit. That's mine and yours. All right? False doctrine. You say, I don't have any false doctrine. Yeah, we all have false doctrine. All of us do. Until the fullness of time has come. We'll start right there this afternoon. But God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. We thank you for, I thank you for even coming to this church. I really enjoy being around you, your friends and family. And I sure appreciate it. I appreciate your effort. Listen, I know it's an effort to come to church. I know it's an effort to put your clothes on. I know it's an effort to get up out of the bed. Some of you drive an hour, hour and a half to get here. I appreciate that, but you know what? God appreciates it more than I do. But my heavens, if you live an hour and a half like Sister Trudy, she lived, listen, some of y'all that don't know this, Sister Trudy, hold your hand up, honey. Hold your hand up. She's close to 49 years old. Almost twice. 80 what?
65.
Oh, okay, she's 65. I think maybe she means 85. But listen, she's going to stand one day in judgment.
Yes, sir.
Even the little judgment, she's going to stand in front of us that can't make it to church and live 15 miles away. She drove 4 hours never missed a Sunday unless she was real sick. She wore out a Volvo 300 and something thousand miles before it kind of went. Well, things wear out because it's human stuff, you know. She did it without her husband coming. She did it alone for 4 hours. You and I get home. We go 10 minutes down the road. We kick our shoes off. We're already eating supper at Laha. We're already back home. And Sister Trudy ain't even made it past Georgia hardly yet. And she's still got, South Carolina yet, because she's got to go to Charlotte, North Carolina. For how many years? It's been, they moved in Dawsonville. Now she's got 45 minutes, so she's still condemning a lot of us. But 4 hours. For years, not just, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. She had a fervor. She'd come here and she'd do tapes before people would get here when we were doing, running tapes off. She'd run tapes. She'd help out all she could. 4 hours. We ought to be ashamed. We ought to get the Holy Ghost. But there's witnesses. See, there's witnesses everywhere. I don't have the same faith as maybe a brother has. I got a problem. I should have the same faith he does. So I'm going to judge myself for that. There's a problem somewhere, maybe. Same way with all of us. We all got. Trudy, she's standing back here with her head down. She doesn't want to be recognized, but God help us. There's a witness in everything. There's a witness there. And when you come up with an excuse and go, well, I can't. Your sister that lived with y'all for 20-something years down there at Lula, she drove 4 hours in the morning. That means, listen, you and I can get up, some of y'all that don't get here on time, can get up at 9:30, but you already be here by then, and just wobble on to church. She had to get up at, she had to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive 4 hours to get here at 9 o'clock. 5 o'clock in the morning. And like I said, when she'd take off and go home, we'd go out and eat. We'd go sit down and eat and we'd fellowship and we'd go home and we'd be in our jammies and she'd just barely be getting home. What's wrong with us? She had the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was driving her to the Word of God. Right? Because she passed probably 50 message churches. One or two that was not far from your house where she used to go. She used to go to another church way back when. She could have just easily said, oh, I think I'll just go over here. No, she wanted to hear something. She wanted to hear the Word of God like it had never been preached before. That's what she saw in Brother Dale. She saw a message, right, Sister Trudy, that she had never heard before. And she wanted to hear some more. And at that time, there wasn't no internet like that when she first started, so she had to come to church, or she got it on a cassette tape, and she didn't like to listen 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 weeks down the road. She wanted to listen to it fresh, so she came to church. God help us all. All of our excuses, there is none in the gospel. There's no excuses. You'll get up, and you won't miss a doctor's appointment by 30 minutes, I promise you that, will you? Because it costs you money. Hey, maybe we start. Never heard of a church having a late fee, but we can always start one. If you're late, you put more in an offering plate. I'm just kidding. But we should be here and try our best to never hinder a service. Try our best never. When somebody comes up for prayer, I've told you many times before, I don't pray for that person. The anointing's on the preacher. That person has a need. I don't have to know it. I ain't got to stick my ear in it. But when Brother Dale would pray for him, you'd see me over there raising my hand. I said, God, forgive me. At this moment, take anything out of my life that'll hinder the Holy Ghost to helping those people. Because Brother Brown said that does happen. Amen. And that would happen. You can hinder the Holy Ghost because of your unconfessed sin or my unconfessed sin. So I want to make sure that on the day of judgment, our judgment, not judgment of whether you get eternal life or not. I'm talking about the judgment of deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. We are going to have to go to a minor judgment because we do get crowns and we do get all these different things, positions. But I don't want God to say, hey, now, Brother Wade said, Sister Trudy come up here for prayer. She really was sick. And you cut that guy off and you said a word you weren't supposed to. I'm just making an example. and you hindered her from getting healed. I don't want that. I don't want that on my account. There's a lot of things going to be on my account, but I hope that one thing is I don't want to be a hindrance to anybody to get healed or get delivered. I want people delivered. Listen, this is a delivering message from anything that you got. All right, so let's sing one. Let's just sing a verse. It's 12 o'clock. Sorry.
Oh, greater is He that is in me.
Hang on, man. Sister Susan wants to ask the congregation something.
First off, I want to say I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, like, glad to have you back.
Prayers for your mom and for me. Right now, I need prayer for Cindy. She's in a nursing home an hour away, and I got her for Thanksgiving. She's not doing good. She's lost weight, and she's real feeble. And I just don't think she's being taken care of, and I've neglected her taking care of my mom. I want to be able to take better care of her. I made a commitment to her,
ma'am,
to take care of her, and I feel like I've let her down because she looks really bad. And, I mean, her toenails have not even been trimmed in a year.
Wow.
Because I haven't seen her in a year.
Yeah.
So I need her close. I need her in Commerce, maybe where Brother Dale was. I'm going to need financial assistance from the government in order to do that. So I need, I just need prayer that we can get this accomplished and get it accomplished soon. Because Cindy's, she'll be 77 years old tomorrow.
Wow.
And she looks... My mother at 91 looked healthier than Cindy.
Wow.
So... I need everybody to join with me and pray for Cindy, that I can get her close enough that I can take care of her on a regular
Amen.
Basis
right.
and not have to travel an hour one way and an hour back
right.
and maybe bring her to church sometimes,
Amen.
But if y'all will, just pray with me, pray for me,
yes.
pray for her.
Amen.
Thank you.
For those of y'all that don't know who Cindy come to church here a long time ago, and she's Donnie's cousin, Brother Donnie Fallbush's cousin, and that will just give me a blinding headache. But anyway, we're good. She came into church. I'm just going to say this. She was on drugs. Prescription pills. She was so nervous. She couldn't exist without them. She walked in that door. She's sitting down right there, and she sat there. I know I'm going long, but sorry. You can eat a little bit later. She sat right there. Brother Dale's preaching, and she's got, her hair has dyed black. She's got on lipstick. Y'all that know her, we saw her, all right, had on lipstick because nobody ever taught her. She was just coming up. She needed help. She needed prayer because there was demons screaming at her. She needed help. Well, now, Brother Dale didn't say, now, bless God, sister, don't you come back in here. She came to church about 3 months, Brother John, with pants on. Makeup, big old ear bobs look like fishing lures. Right? You remember. We all remember that. Now, most churches would have beat her from the first sermon to the last one. But thank God we had a messenger that could preach the Holy Ghost inside of somebody without killing them physically. So Brother Dale just kept preaching. We never had to go take her back in the study and say, hey, you need to quit doing that. About 3 or 4 months after that, Cindy comes in with no makeup on. Cindy comes in with natural hair. Cindy comes in with a dress on. Just, you see the transformation right in front of you without having to beat her with a stick.
Right.
And then she quit taking pills. She may have had to have some to get by, but it wasn't like when the first time she walked in here, she was like a drug addict almost, right? I'm not telling a lie, right? Not exaggerating. She was out of it. She was out of it. Come back to her senses. She come here. She said, I want the Holy Ghost so bad. I've wasted part of my life. I want the Holy Ghost so bad. We had prayer with her. And I believe she got it in her own little simple way. I believe she did because she kept coming to church. She kept reading her Bible. Sure, well, my Lord, there's things in your past you got to try to get rid of. Listen, this is an instant gospel, but I think it takes time for us to grow into being a wife. And I think Cindy, we watched her grow. And she was older, though. Her time was limited. She'd beat her body up, really. I mean, she'd wore her body out with all the taking the pills and stuff. Nervous. Always nervous about something. She calmed down. She was just as calm afterwards. And I mean, Brother John, totally different person, transformed right in front of our eyes. So she got sick. She had to be put in a nursing home. So I bet you she'd love to be back here. We know our bodies wear out. You look at Brother Dale, different ones. Their bodies just wear out. And it can't do what it used to do. But there's still a soul inside of there that wants to do something, that wants to serve the Lord. And that desire is still there. Doesn't matter if she's 77. Tell her happy birthday, by the way. But we desire to see her back here. Amen? I told Dad a couple of days ago. We stayed with him Friday night. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep, about an hour. But I told him, I said, Dad, I want you back in church. I want you back here. I want to see you back here. He just shook his head. But there's still a Holy Ghost filled preacher inside there.
Amen.
Inside that shell that the devil's tried to play with. But talk to him like that. Tell Cindy. Tell Cindy we love Stella. She knows we love her. There's no doubt. She'd have done left. But we didn't beat her to death. She just morphed right into from that caterpillar to the butterfly. And Brother John, we didn't have to, like I said, you didn't have to pay her. All caterpillars got to do is what? Eat. Get in the right environment and eat, and there's a butterfly in there, and it'll come out.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. We pray that what we've said has been pleasing to you, Lord. We pray that you'd touch our heart, Lord. Be with Sister Cindy, Lord, and raise her up, Lord, for your honor and glory. We'd love to see her again. All the different ones we think about now, Sister Johnny and the different ones, Sister Mary Darty, that we haven't seen in a while, Lord. We pray that you'd, Lord, just touch their body, Lord, that we could see Brother Dale also, to be back in the congregation, Lord. They're all part of our big family, Lord, and we appreciate them. Father, we pray if there's someone sick today, Lord, that needed prayer or needed salvation, I pray that you go to them right now, Father, and that you'll quicken it in their heart, that they can say in their heart, this mountain needs to be moved. And don't doubt in their heart. They don't have to have hands laid on. They don't have to have a prayer of faith. It comes from inside, Lord. We pray that you would just help us to be more mature like that. Help us to be better Christians, Lord. And as we go our way, Lord, and come back in an hour or so, Lord, I pray that you give us all strength. Rejuvenate us, Lord. Be with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Greater is he that is in me. And greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Oh, greater is he.